Luke chapter number 8. I want to go back to the story that we were in last Sunday morning and kind of pick up the heels of that story, because I believe there's some important truth for us from the passage. And so I want you to go back there this morning. Luke chapter number 8. We were looking at the story of the Lord coming on shore in the place of the Gadarenes. And the Bible says that it's over against Galilee. And as he came on shore, there was a man possessed of many devils. And the Bible says, as we looked at last week, that God cast those devils out and brought deliverance to the man. But I want to go to the heels of that story, and I want to read how it ended and how it all unfolded then from the Lord's standpoint, and what took place at the end of that healing. Look with me, if you would, in Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 32. Luke chapter 8 and verse number 32. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. I want to look at the remaining part of this story and ask this question, or make this statement. Can you believe that this city would ask Jesus to leave? That this city would ask Jesus to leave. Let's pray and ask God's direction in the message this morning. Father, we thank you and praise you for the Word of God. We meet this morning not around the opinion of man, not around the opinion of some kind of hierarchy or some kind of mailer, not some kind of political platform, but we meet today on the unchanging Word. We are grateful that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I pray that you would direct me in the message today. May this be a help for each one. We pray that we'd see these matters as they are and as they unfold in this story. And this city asks Jesus to leave. It's almost hard to comprehend, but we recognize that there are many places around this globe that have done the very same thing. I pray, Father, that you direct my thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, of course, delivers this man. We saw last week that Jesus revealed the nature of the man. He revealed the name of the man. He revealed all that the man was dealing with, and it all is unfolding before our very eyes. It's possible that this man had several thousand demons that were in play there in his life, and yet when Jesus came on shore, he changed the entire situation. But as we go down through the story, we want to look further at what transpires in the nature of the response. And I want you to see two things that are very prevalent in our day and age, and then we'll see the alternating issue as it is revealed in the life of the demoniac. There are two things that are revealed here in the passage, and the Bible tells us very clearly that there are specifically reasons why people do not come to the Lord. We might find that hard to believe, but the Word of God tells us that the road that leads to heaven is narrow, and few there be that find it. Well, what are some of the things that keep people from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you notice with me, first of all, this morning, that fear will often keep someone from coming to Christ. In this passage, the Lord delivers the man from the demoniac, or from the demons, delivers the demoniac from the power of the demons. And the Bible says that as soon as he was delivered and those demons were sent to the swine that were there on the hillside, the Bible says that the people that were there caring for this flock fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. The Bible says in verses 36 and 37, they also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. In Mark chapter 5, verses 14 to 15, the section of verses that we looked at primarily from this same story, the Bible says, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that he was possessed, of the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Now, this is unbelievable, but fear is actually keeping people from the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps they feared his power and what else he might do in the area. There's going to be a logical investigation by the owners and by the city folk as to what has transpired. But as they come to investigate and they find this demoniac that has been uncontrolled and uncontained now sitting at the feet of Jesus, they fear righteousness more than they fear the nature of the demoniac. You say, well, that couldn't possibly make sense. But they were stricken with such fear of Jesus's power. The people saw the great deed. They saw the marvelous deliverance from the deliverance of the possessed man. And their response is not one of rejoicing, but one of fear. They'd known the demon-possessed man. They'd known of his hopeless condition. They'd known of the enormous power that was exhibited in that man's life. And yet in his deliverance, they feared Jesus Christ more in his delivering power. You know, today, it really directs us to the nature of people's fears as it relates to coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is it that people fear and then never get saved? It's possible this morning that we find this very factor playing a part in what transpires in a service just like this one. It's possible that right here in this very room, there is someone that is gripped with fear over the nature of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps someone is sitting in the midst that would look down the aisle and would say, I'm not going forward because that person will think this of me. I'm not going to let anyone know that I need Jesus Christ because I am more afraid of what people might say. I'm more afraid of what people might think. There are many that have testimonies like this one that they made a profession when they were younger, but then they arrived in a college setting and God convicted their heart and he spoke to them in such a way as to reveal that they were never really saved. And they overcome the fear of perhaps even being in a Bible college setting and having people in that kind of setting where they say, you know what, I can't worry any longer about what people will think because I know what God knows. And they fear. Now, I don't know that we really interact with this as much in an outward show right here in the United States of America. But I tell you, if you travel around the globe with me today, there are people that fear coming to the Lord Jesus Christ because of the consequences that would be related to the people that they're around. Perhaps they've been steeped in a family religion. Perhaps they have all the icons of their family's religious practice. And it's all set up in their home, and it's all set up in their drive area, and perhaps even all the way out to their mailbox setting where they worship their gods and follow the statues of their gods. And then lo and behold, Jesus comes their way. And out of fear, they tremble as to what it would mean if they ever accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I take it to another level this morning and even reference the step of baptism that is unique to Christianity? You know, my friend, we understand that baptism does not save anyone. The baptismal waters have never washed away the sin of one person. But there are people that want to, that are very afraid of taking that kind of outward step because of the identification with the Lord Jesus Christ and the identification with His church. And so they act in fear. What are they going to say? I've seen this in camp settings where I know full well that a young person is under great pressure from the guys and gals that are also there in the camp, and they want that young person to kind of stay in their own group and to be a part of them and everything like this. But in their heart, that teenager knows that they're not born again. And so when the altar call is given, they've kind of got one eye on what they know they need to do and watching and listening to the evangelist and to the message that's been given. And they've got one eye on the group, and out of fear, they'll often fail to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing to me that you'd have a group of individuals that would be more afraid of the Lord Jesus Christ and the goodness and the change that He could bring to a man. And because of that fear, they rejected the truths that were delivered in the deliverance of this man. It doesn't make sense, but they're so gripped with fear. And it is not a fear of reverence, and it is not a fear of humility, but a fear of dread and hatred that He might deal with them and there'd be more loss. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 33, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Mark chapter 8 in verse number 38, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Let me ask you just point blank this morning, as God knows your heart, has fear kept you from coming to biblical salvation? What will my classmates think? What will my neighbors think? What will my customers think? What will people think if I come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? What about my standing in society? What about what people have thought of me and how I've talked with them at the water cooler? What will my coworkers say if it gets out that I know Jesus Christ is my Savior? So perhaps there are some this morning that would be kept from Jesus in much the same way these people were kept from the truth of salvation. They're gripped by fear. Would you notice the second matter that was definitely at hand? It was not just that of fear, but it was also a secondary matter that kept people from coming to Christ, and it's that of finances. Luke chapter 8, look what the Bible says in verse number 34. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Okay, so let's put this in perspective. You own a herd of hogs, and you have sent me out to watch and care for this herd of hogs. And I return to you at the end of the day and I say, "Hey, you know that herd that you had at the beginning of the day? Well, you no longer have them." Now, I don't know what the price of hogs would have been back in this time, but there was a day in my childhood growing up and traveling out to Iowa that we'd go to the farm and my uncles often kept hogs. Now, most of the hog production has now been put into the hands of larger conglomerates, and so it's not really in the hands of the smaller type farm settings. But I'm telling you, when you walked onto the property of any hog farmer, you knew it. Now, it was well known that that odor was the smell of money. Just a fact. When you pass those kind of hog farms, you just say, ooh, that's bad, but that's the smell of money. All right? And on different occasions, we'd go out, and on one particular occasion, my wife and I were now married at this time. This was 1994. And my one uncle had 25 sows. Now, that is a large female hog that is getting ready to give birth. And so each of those hogs would have a good number of hogettes, future linemen for the Washington Redskins. And so each of those sows were about ready to give birth. And so when my wife and I walked out into the barn where they were being kept, they weren't walking around. They were pretty stationary. They're pretty much laying down. They were just getting ready to have a large number of piglets, okay? Now, there's quite a bit of funding that's involved in not only the purchase price of those sows, but then in the care of them, and then in the sale of them, as you are going to receive funding back. And so you'll raise them to a certain weight. They'll be taken and made pets in different homes across America, for those of you that are concerned, all right? But imagine that you own this herd, and the caretakers of that herd come back into the city and they say something like this. You know that flock you had? What do you mean the flock that I had? Well, they're kind of all dead. Well, that's a big luau, right? Why are they dead? The natural assumption is that the caretaker has messed up. And so something's gone wrong. I mean, you might lose one or two during the day, but surely you're never going to lose the whole entire amount of hogs. But they come back and they tell this story. They're all dead. Well, what in the world happened? Well, you know the demoniac? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know him well. Yeah. We hear him crying in the night. We know he's got all these issues and so forth. We know he cuts himself. He can't be contained. He can't be controlled. Yeah, we know. Well, we were out there and this man came ashore. And whatever was inside of that guy was all of a sudden struck by fear. And that man that came on shore told the demons inside of the demoniac that they were going to depart. And do you know where he sent them? He sent them into your herd. Even the hogs had enough sense that they'd rather be dead than demon possessed. So the Bible says that they rush down this cliff and they all die. And we recognize that this is a financial loss for the individuals that had ownership of these hogs. And so they come to Jesus and they say, "We want you to depart." Pay no attention to the fact that when they arrive back out there, that this man that has previously been uncontrolled and uncontained is now clothed and sitting in his right mind and at the feet of Jesus. And it's the understanding that people should be more important to us than pigs. And yet they immediately tell the Lord Jesus Christ, "No, we don't want you to stay. We don't want you to stay." And so the second thing that we see is not only does fear keep people from coming to Jesus Christ, fear of the coworker, fear of the companion, fear of that individual that's down at the other side of the pew, fear of a reputation, fear of what it might mean. But we also see that finances will also keep people from the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps there's someone this morning that would say, "Pastor, I want to follow the Lord as my Savior, but the truth of the matter is, it will cause me to suffer loss in the arena of my wealth, in the arena of my finances. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world, if he would keep his whole herd of hogs and lose his own soul? In Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 22, the Bible says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And the Lord walks through all these different things with him. Ultimately, the Lord is saying, perfection is demanded of everyone that would enter heaven. And this man claimed perfection before the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord says to him, "Go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions, clinging to finances and rejecting Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to 23, the same kind of story is what we find here in Luke chapter 8. Unfolds, but it's with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul goes into a town and he sees this young lady that is gripped with demonic activity. She's a diviner of all these things, and she's under the control of these masters, and she can divinate and so forth, and they've used her for soothsaying and fortune telling. And the Apostle Paul comes into the city and delivers her from all of this demonic activity. And it's not as though everybody responds with rejoicing. Praise God, this girl's been delivered. No, they're furious. And they arrest the Apostle Paul and they arrest Silas and they beat them mercilessly and then they imprison him. We find the story there unfolding as he's beaten with many stripes. Why? Because these people are clinging more to finances than it is to meet Jesus Christ. Perhaps there's one or more people that's sitting here in the auditorium and you just be honest with the Lord today and you'd say, "You know what? I've got so much stuff and it's just more important to me than salvation." You know, we're so blessed here in the States. On so many levels, we've been given so much more. We've been given beyond our needs, and in so many cases, we have been blessed with our wants. So many blessings. And yet it is entirely possible that much of America will die in its sins and go to hell because of all their stuff. And it meant so much more to them that they could not with clarity hear the truth of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Now, I wonder if that's true in your life. I wonder if there's something that is more important to you than Bible salvation. I wonder if there's something that has gripped your soul that you've clung to. I wonder if there's something that has kept you from coming to know full salvation. And you're looking at it and say, "Lord, I'd rather have the herd of hogs than I would to have eternal life." In some cases this morning, fear has kept people from the Lord Jesus Christ. In some cases this morning, finances have kept people from the Lord Jesus Christ. So, my friend, what is the only answer? We go again to this man that has been delivered. And would you look again with me in verse number 38 and 39? After this lengthy interaction with these people that have come from the city and from the countryside, and there are some of them that are saying, "Depart for fear." There are some that are saying, "Depart. You've wrecked our herd. We have this great loss of finances." They're saying, "Leave us alone." There's one man in the midst. And the Bible says, "Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. My friend, the only avenue by which true salvation can be brought into your life is that of faith. Faith. Faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. There's not one thing that I can do in my own life that deserves eternal salvation. There's no fortune that can buy salvation. There's no path of morality that can earn salvation. There's no baptistry that can wash away sins and bring salvation. There's no good work that can bring the merit for salvation. The only way to be saved is by grace through faith. And this man came back to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he demonstrates two things. Number one, salvation. Salvation. When the devils were departed, he is sitting clothed and in his right mind. Do you know this morning that if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not yet in your right mind? The Bible says that if we're without Christ, we are on a path and we are already condemned because we've not yet believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Today's the day of salvation, the Bible says. Today's the day for you to put your faith in someone else to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Today's the day to put aside any fear that may be there as it relates to what people will think. Well, I've been in this church for a long time. Stop worrying about what people will think and deal with what God knows. And come to Him even today. What will my parents think? What will my spouse think? What will my mom and dad? What will my grandparents? What will my aunt, my uncle, my cousins, my brothers, my sisters? All these different family members and all these different excuses. What will my coworkers think? What will my neighbors think? Put all of that away and stop fretting over men and come to Jesus Christ by faith. What is it this morning that you have in your life? What thing? What possession? What amount of wealth? What position do you have that's brought in all these things that is keeping you from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ? We recently heard the story of one of the missionaries that we support here, that is out of another church, but we support them as well. And we heard the story of a lady in this foreign country, and this lady had great fear over coming to Jesus Christ because of her productivity in the arena of the gods that are in that country. And so she produced a number of things and a number of food items and a number of trinkets and so forth. And she made her living with the gods of that country. And as the witness went forth, it was always in the back of her mind, if I trust Christ as my Savior, then I'm cutting off my flow of funding for my livelihood. And the missionary kept working on her and kept working on her and kept witnessing and investing time. And again, she'd respond, if I do this, if I accept Christ, this is going to cause me great harm in the community. I'll lose this position. I'll lose these possessions. I'll lose all of this stuff. But just in the last 2 months, that lady said, I want Christ. And we received the testimony reports of that lady sitting in a church service and sitting next to a lady that knew Christ as her Savior. And that lady witnessed and witnessed and witnessed. And after all of the plowing and sowing and all of the work that had been done to convince that lady to come to Christ, a dear lady sat in the service and told her testimony. And finally that lady said, okay, I want Christ more than my position in the community, and more than the possessions that I have, and more than all the stuff that I can produce to maintain this status. And she got saved. Here's a group of people that said, we want Jesus to depart because of how he's affected our possessions. How often does that occur? First of all, this man gets saved. And then this man is desirous of service. Lord, just point the way. Let me get busy on the call. Let me get busy in your work. And yet, how does the Lord direct his life? Look there again at verse number 39. He says, I want to go with you, Lord. I want to get in the boat. I want to be a part of what you're doing as you travel and preach and teach. And what did he say? Return to thine own house and show how great things God has done unto thee. And look at what it says. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. You see, my friend, Jesus left a great witness. You see, Jesus was told, we don't want you here. Perhaps some out of fear, perhaps some out of anger because of the loss of possessions. But in departing, Jesus left a witness. When you look at the passage here, we find four different times that they besought Jesus for something. The first three times, Jesus responded to the nature of their request. But in this last one, Jesus says, no, it's not for you to go with me. It's for you to stay behind and leave a witness. Now, let's be honest as we read these verses, but specifically what is said in returning to his own house, that can be the most difficult place for us to witness. And yet the Lord compels him, go back and tell others what I have done for you. The spirit of a delivered man. The man would be a dynamic example. As soon as he was delivered from the demoniac, delivered from the demons, he begged to be with Christ. He begged to travel around. He begged to go with the Lord and share the good news while he was with Christ. He's on fire for the Lord. He wants to commit himself wholly to the ministry. But note that Christ, while excited for all of this enthusiasm, he directs him to his own house. It's almost as though he says, listen, I'm departing because they've rejected the truth that I've given to them while I've been here, but I will leave myself a witness. Perhaps this morning you are the witness that the Lord intends for your workplace. Are you spreading the good news there? Perhaps you are the witness that God has ordained for the neighborhood. Are you spreading the good news there? Perhaps you're the only one that can tell that loved one the truth of Jesus Christ. Will you be the witness? Perhaps you know the language of the individual and you have opportunity to speak in the same tongue, the same language as someone else has. Are you willing to stand up and testify as to what Christ has done? In so many arenas, in so many areas of our walk and of our talk, Jesus Christ desires for you to be that witness. You know, there are so many people that you will meet that I will never meet. There are so many people that I will meet that you will never meet. Am I faithfully proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ? Jesus said, no, I want you to go back. Faith has changed this man, but God had left the man to be a witness. The best known sinner in the whole area was now going to be a walking billboard for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I close the message this morning with this statement? There are those that have rejected Christ to this point out of fear. There are those that have rejected Christ to this point because of their love of finances. But praise the Lord, there are many that have come by faith. As we close the message this morning, when you and I see verse number 37, then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them. For they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and return back again. Jesus did exactly what they asked. He left them. They chose the tasty, satisfying nourishment of the swine of the world over the joy and salvation of Christ. And as far as we know, He left there forever, never to return to those who coveted this world more than Him. Perhaps Jesus has passed by you this morning. And in a moment, in a time of invitation, we're going to offer for you to come and meet the truth of the Savior. But I've got to tell you, He does not force His way in. And He may never pass that way again. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this passage and for the truths that are learned by both of these examples, both the one that trusted by faith and the ones that rejected out of fear and love of finances. In the quietness of this moment, You know the heart of every man and woman that's gathered in this auditorium. In the quietness of this moment, I wonder if there's someone in the Holy Spirit of God right now would put that holy tap upon their heart and would say, "Pastor's speaking to you today. To this point, you've been gripped by fear of what others might say or think. You've not come to Christ." Perhaps the Holy Spirit is tapping on the heart of someone right now and saying, "Pastor's talking to you. You've had such a love for finances and the things of this world that it's kept you from true salvation." In both of these situations, we would encourage people today to put aside those fears and to put aside those finances and to, by faith, trust Jesus Christ alone. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. From the Scriptures, from what we know, they asked Jesus to depart, and He never returned that way again. It would be a tremendous shame to think that there'd be one or more people today that would hear the truth of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, and they would depart and continue to live their life under the wrath of Almighty God. Today they can be delivered. Lord, in this time of invitation for each believer, would You help us to turn our attention to some friend, relative, neighbor, or associate that we have that does not know Jesus Christ? May we take time in this invitation to name them and to pray for them. Lord, as we have this time of invitation, I pray that much would be accomplished in each heart and life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.